Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by for JinkoSolar Holding Co., Ltd.'s first quarter 2025 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. After management's prepared remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. As a reminder, today's conference call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the meeting over to your host for today's call, Ms. Stella Wang, JinkoSolar's Investor Relations. Please proceed, Stella.
Thank you, Operator. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today for JinkoSolar's first quarter 2025 earnings conference call. The company's results were released earlier today and available on the company's IR website at www.jinkosolar.com, as well as on Newswire services. We have also provided a supplemental presentation for today's earnings call, which can also be found on the IR website. On the call today from JinkoSolar are Mr. Li Xiande, Chairman and CEO of JinkoSolar Holding Co., Ltd., Mr. Gener Miao, CMO of JinkoSolar Co., Ltd., Mr. Pan Li, CFO of JinkoSolar Holding Co., Ltd., and Mr. Charlie Cao, CFO of JinkoSolar Co., Ltd. Mr. Li will discuss JinkoSolar's business operations and company highlights, followed by Mr. Miao, who will talk about the sales and marketing, and then Mr. Pan Li, who will go through the financials. They will be available to answer your questions during the Q&A session that follows. Please note that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the safe harbor provisions of the U.S. Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, our future results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding this and other risks is included in JinkoSolar's public filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. JinkoSolar does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements except as required under the applicable law. It's now my pleasure to introduce Mr. Li Xiande, Chairman and CEO of JinkoSolar Holding. Mr. Li will speak in Mandarin, and I will translate his comments into English. Please go ahead,
Mr. Li.
Module shipments reached 17.5 GW, with revenues of $1.91 billion for the first quarter of 2025. Prices across the main solar industrial chain were low in the first quarter. This, combined with disruptions in demand caused by changes in international trade policies, pressured profit margins in each segment of the integrated solar supply chain. Despite this challenging market environment, we fulfilled our delivery commitments to our customers and reduced the costs through supply chain optimization, adjustments in production and operation plans, and other measures. Due to a year-over-year decline in shipments to the U.S. market and a continued decline in higher-priced overseas orders, our module prices and profitability decreased both year-over-year and sequentially in the first quarter. Net loss was approximately $180 million for the first quarter.
据国家能源局统计，2025年1月到3月，国内新增装机55,931，国内光伏需求在去年高基数背景下仍体现韧性，市场自我调节和企业的高质量发展行动逐渐体现成效。1到3月后，国内光伏逐渐招标月度均价稳步回升，报价回归理性。近期，随着分布式政策和电力市场化政策强装试点的临近，光伏需求在去年高基数背景下仍体现韧性，市场自我调节和企业的高质量发展行动逐渐体现成效。1到3月后，国内光伏逐渐招标月度均价稳步回升，报价回归理性。 凭借敏锐的市场判断和高效的咨询力，我们始终致力满足客户对我们高效可靠产品的需求，在把握市场变化的同时保持经营的可持续性。目前我们的订单可见度在60%-70%，其中印太和中东非超过80%。
According to data from the NEA, new installations in China in the first quarter amounted to 59.7 gigawatts, an increase of 31% year-over-year. Resilience was seen in domestic demand despite of the higher comparison base in 2024. Market self-regulation and high-quality development initiatives by manufacturers were gradually effective.From January to March, average monthly bidding prices for solar modules steadily recovered in the domestic market, and bidding prices returned to a more rational level. Recently, as the policy cut-off deadlines for distributed solar regulations and market-based renewable price reform on April 30th and May 31st approach, market sentiment has cooled down to some extent, and the distributed module prices.Have fallen back from their previous heights. At the same time, changes in international trade policies, such as reciprocal tariffs in the United States, have continued to bring certain disruptions to the PV industry. In response to these challenges, we have flexibly adjusted our supply chain strategy and regional shipment mix, while maintaining close communication and negotiation with our customers.Relying on our extensive market insights and efficient execution, we remain committed to meeting customer demands for our high efficient and reliable products, maintaining operations continuity while adapting to market dynamics. Currently, visibility of our order book stands at 60%-70%, with Indo-Pacific and Middle East and Africa exceeding 80%.
降频增效仍是光伏行业的主旋发展的主旋律，终端客户对高功率产品的需求在快速增长，以进一步降低度电成本。由于行业大部分常规 TOPCon 产能在升级改造方面存在限制，不同的企业在 TOPCon 电池效率、产品功率和成本端的差异逐渐拉大。我们认为拥有高效电池产能和高功率产品的企业在市场竞争中掌握主动权。
Cost reduction and increasing efficiency remain the main themes in the development of the PV industry, and the customers' demand for high-power products is growing rapidly to further reduce LCOE. Due to limitations in the upgrading and the transformation of most conventional TOPCon capacity in the industry, differences between manufacturers in TOPCon cell efficiency, product performance, and cost are gradually widening.We believe that companies with high efficiency cell capacity and high power products will have a competitive advantage in the market.
截至一季度末，我们的 TOPCon 三代产品的电池量产效率已超过26.6%。我们持续推进对现有 TOPCon 产能的升级改造，通过导入半片动画、无阻栓等技术，预计 TOPCon 三代产品相较行业常规 TOPCon 产品的功率上有20瓦到30瓦的领先，同时我们在研发端持续突破。截至一季度末，基于 TOPCon 技术的钙带矿铁层电池实验室效率达到34.2，再次刷新记录。
By the end of the first quarter, the mass produced cell efficiency for our third generation TOPCon product exceeded 26.6%. We continued to upgrade existing TOPCon capacity.With the introduction of technologies such as the half-cell passivation, MAX, and 20 busbar, we expect the power of our third-generation TOPCon products to have a 20 to 30 watt advantage compared to previous generation TOPCon products in the industry. Meanwhile, we kept making breakthroughs in our R&D. By the end of the first quarter, ourLaboratory efficiency for perovskite tandem solar cell based on TOPCon reached 34.22%, once again setting a new record.
我们在储能领域的研发、制造和售后服务的能力的投入也逐渐体现成效。今年一季度储能系统的出货量超过300个兆瓦时，相比去年同期有大幅增长。预计2025年储能系统的出货量在6个吉瓦时。左右， 海外项目将是我们的战略重心。截至目前，储能系统的在手订单超过达到50%到60%，另外有20%到30%的项目具备签单潜力。依托公司在光伏领域的龙头优势，我们将积极探索光储一体化的创新业务模式，为全球客户提供高效智能的绿色能源等解决方案，为全球能源的可持续发展贡献力量。
Our investments in R&D, manufacturing and after-sale service capabilities in energy storage are gradually showing results. In the first quarter, shipments of our ESS exceeded 300 megawatt hours, a large increase compared to the same period last year. We expect our ESS to be, shipments of our ESS to be around 6 gigawatt hours for the full year 2025.With the overseas market as our strategic priority. So far, confirmed orders for energy storage systems accounted for 50% to 60%, with another 20% to 30% showing strong potential for signing. Leveraging our leading position in the PV industry, we will proactively explore the innovative business models that integrate solar and the storage solutions, providing high efficiency and smart green energy solutions.To global clients and contributing to the sustainable development of the global energy.
话题交给接纳之前，我来介绍一下业绩指引。预计2025年底，单晶硅片、高效电池和组件的产能达到120个吉瓦、95个吉瓦和130个吉瓦。三代 TOPCon 高效率产能将达到40个吉瓦到50个吉瓦。2025年第二季度，组件出货量在20个吉瓦到25个吉瓦之间。2025年全年组件出货量85个吉瓦到100个吉瓦之间。我们将积极应对行业需求和政策变化，持续优化市场策略和供应链管理，并不断提升技术和产品的竞争力，努力保持行业领先地位。
Before turning over to Jenna, I would like to go over our guidance for the second quarter and the full year 2025.We expect our annual production capacity for mono wafers, solar cells, and solar modules to reach 120, 95, and 130 gigawatts, respectively, with annual production capacity of our third generation TOPCon modules to reach 40 gigawatts to 50 gigawatts by the end of 2025. We expect module shipments to be between 20 to 25 gigawatts in the second quarter of 2025.And between 85 to 100 gigawatts for the full year 2025. And we will actively respond to changes in market demand and policy, continuously optimize market strategies and supply chain management, and consistently improve technology and product competitiveness to maintain a leading position in the industry.
Thank you, Ms. Lee.First quarter total shipments were 19.1 gigawatts, with module shipment accounting for approximately 90%. Although demand was impacted by the off-season, we sustained the industry's highest shipment levels by leveraging our global sales network and the strength of our products. Shipments to overseas markets accounted for around 70%. We proactively embraced the surge in the demand in the Indo-Pacific and the North Asia markets. Shipments to Indo-Pacific market grew by nearly 10% year over year and 150% sequentially, while shipments to North Asia increased by nearly 20% year over year. U.S. shipment accounted for approximately 5% in the line with our guidance.On the product side, customer demand for our third-generation high-power TOPCon products continues to grow. Our third-generation high-power TOPCon is expected to have a mainstream output over 650 watt peak, with a maximum of 670 watt peak. Thanks to lower degradation, lower temperature coefficient, higher bifaciality,and enhance the reliability, it can deliver better power generation yields for end customers. Currently, customers are willing to pay a premium for such high power generation. Recently, we were once again recognized as a Tier 1 energy storage provider by Bloomberg. We have been listed in the BNEF rankings for 4 consecutive quarters. a strong recognition from a third party and customers of our safe and reliable energy storage solution, as well as our timely delivery and deployment capabilities. With the increasing economic of integrated solar and storage solutions and the continued expansion in the application scenarios, particularly against the backdrop of high energy consumption driven by AI, integrated solar and storage solutions are increasingly become feasible. The overseas market has always been one of our strengths. In 2025, we will further expand the energy storage business globally while continuing to focus on and explore technological innovation and application in specific application scenarios. We believe that the synergy between our solar and the storage business will further increase our market competitiveness. On the demand side, we expect a global module demand to remain about 700 gigawatts in 2025, with strong growth in Asia Pacific, Europe, and the Middle East. Following the recent rush installation in China, with initiation of utility-scale projects in August and September, the overall demand is expected to continue to be in line with module supplies under the industry high-quality development initiative. In U.S., due to current shortage in local cell production capacity and the impact of reciprocal tariffs, there is likely to be a wave of early purchases of cell and modules. We remain optimistic about the long-term demand in the U.S. market. In addition to the announced Saudi projects and existing U.S. domestic operations, we are actively pursuing diverse solutions to strengthen our position in this market to enhance our long-term competitiveness. We are confident that our extensive sales network and deeply localized customer services system will help us respond to the market dynamics, make flexible adjustments, and continue to satisfy customers' demand for more high-efficient, reliable, and sustainable products. Pat.
Thank you, Jenner. During the challenging first quarter, we continue to control costs and expenses, leading to a significant year-over-year decrease in comprehensive costs and operating expenses. In addition, we continue to optimize our asset and liability structure, as well as cash reserves. By the end of the first quarter, our asset liability ratio was approximately 74%, lower from nearly 75% at the end of the first quarter last year. By the end of the first quarter, our cash and cash equivalent were 3.77 billion, a significant increase from 2.44 billion at the end of the first quarter last year. We will continue to optimize our asset and liability structure and maintain healthy cash reserves in 2025, further strengthening our resilience to risks. Let me go into more details now. Total revenue was 1.9 billion, down 33% sequentially and down 40% year-over-year. The sequential decrease was primarily due to a decrease in shipments of solar modules, and a year-over-year decrease was also due to a decrease in average selling price of modules. Gross margin decreased both sequentially and year-over-year, mainly due to the decrease in ASP of solar modules. Total operating expenses were 350 million, down 8% sequentially and down 18% year-over-year. The sequential decrease was mainly due to the decrease in the impairment of long-lived assets and a decrease in the losses resulting from disposal of long-lived assets. The year-over-year decrease was primarily due to the decrease in shipping costs as we shipped fewer solar modules. Total operating expenses accounted for 18% of total revenues compared to 13% in the fourth quarter last year and 13% in the first quarter last year. Operating loss margin was about 20% compared with 9% in the fourth quarter last year and 1.5% in the first quarter last year. Moving to the balance sheet. At the end of the first quarter, our cash and cash equivalents were 3.77 billion compared with 3.8 billion at the end of the fourth quarter and 2.44 billion at the end of first quarter last year. AR turnover days were 111 days compared with 80 days in the fourth quarter and 100 days in the first quarter, both last year. Inventory turnover days were 84 days compared with 57 days in the fourth quarter and 89 days in the first quarter of last year. At the end of the first quarter, total debt was 6.4 billion compared to 5.5 billion at the end of the fourth quarter. Net debt was 2.6 billion compared to 1.7 billion at the end of the fourth quarter last year. This concludes our prepared remarks. We are now happy to take your questions. Operator, please proceed.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your first question comes from Brian Lee with Goldman Sachs & Co.
Hey, guys. This is Tyler Bissett on for Brian. Thanks for taking our questions. Appreciate the ESS guidance of 6 gigawatt hours and wondering if you can give a little bit more details on kind of where these shipments are going. Is this more in line with your module shipments today? And I'm also curious where you guys are sourcing your battery cells.
ESS shipment mix is mainly dominated by Asia Pacific region, Europe region, and emerging markets. Well, those together with China, those four regions are our main target in terms of 2025. So, which is slightly different from what we have for modules, but for the key markets, it's a very very like to each other, but in terms of geographic mix, because of the trade barrier in U.S. etc., so it's difficult to extend the ESS business in U.S. right now.
Thank you. And given the final determination on ADCVD, which was, I guess, relatively more favorable for Malaysia, how are you thinking about your future imports to the U.S.? Could you see that potentially increasing at all, or do you think it's more likely to stay in the 5% range?
Well, I think the ADCVD is only a preliminary tariffs, so there still have what they call sunset termination after 12 months customs clearance, which brings the company a lot of uncertainties. So in that case, we are trying to look into the different options we have in order to provide more certainties and providing more competitive in terms of the cost as well. So right now, we are still working hard on that for the short term because the recent hike or change on the ADCVD together with trade barriers is pretty new. But in long term, we still have our commitment to the U.S. market with our strategy in the joint venture factories in Middle East together with our local operation in U.S., we are still fully committed.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Philip Shen with Roth Capital Partners.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for taking my questions. So you guys had negative gross margins for the first time in a long time in Q1, and was wondering if you can talk through what you expect for margins for Q2 and Q3? And then when do you expect the margins to go back positive? Thanks.
In Philippines, the gross margin and the risk to negative is very extreme, you know, cases in the last 5 years, and reflecting, you know, the supply and the demand imbalance, and you know, throughout, you know, last year, and on top of that, the first quarter is the snack season, and we have more exposures to the China market. And we expect, you know, in the short term, we expect the gross margin and to improve and slightly in the second quarter, given the module price is in upward trend, you know, with the push demand from China and other regions. And in the second half year, and we expect it to be stable, maybe have the chance to, you know, improve. And we believe, and the current situation is not sustainable even for the top tier companies. And from supply side, we are seeing more and more companies and phase out in the solar industries. On top of that, there's uncertainties on international trade. And we believe, you know, by the end of this year, we have more clarifications. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Charlie. Shifting to the U.S. market, there is the 145% tariff. I wanted to understand, what's the update on your plans to ramp up U.S. cell manufacturing in Florida or wherever that might be? And then also, with the 145% tariff, are you able to import solar cell tools without, like, is there an exemption for the tools, or is there no exemption for the tools? So it makes the ramping of U.S. cell manufacturing more difficult. Thanks.
Yeah. I think it's more kind of the board, you know, questions, but from the long-term belief, we believe, you know, local production in the U.S. for local customers in the United States is a trend that is consistent with, I think, you know, the long-term policies from the current, you know, Trump administrations. And for the short term, there's a lot of uncertainties. There's the budget cut. There's a IRA, you know, incentive. There is maybe, you know, what we are, you know, interested in the FELOC, you know, kind of this kind of things. And so what we take approach is we consistently evaluate the policies from the, you know, different angles. And as long as there is some kind of uncertainties, and we strongly believe the U.S. solar market will rebound, you know, next year. And specifically, for the, you know, if we want to build the solar cell facilities, and we import the equipment from China under the current new tariff, it's a crazy rate, right? It's not make sense to make the decisions even from that specific angles. So back to your question, and we don't have the plan in the short term, you know, solar cell will be built in the U.S., but we have, you know, the plan. Consistently evaluate the, you know, the policies, the potential size, and the potential, you know, the tariff situations.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll pass it on.
Welcome.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Alan Lau with Jefferies.
Thank you for taking my question. This is Alan. And my first question is on, it is the first time I think the company have provided the guidance on ESS. Would like to know if there's any indication on the on the margins on ESS, like some ballpark range, because ESS has been quite competitive in the Middle East as well.
you mean the margin, right?
Gross margin.
Yeah, gross margin. I think we target 5% to 10%. It's not very, you know, big target. And given, you know, the business we developed, you know, and starting from the kind of the very small scale, last year we achieved 1 gigawatt, but this year, and we have a confidence, we have the confidence and to penetrate the market, and particularly, you know, Asia Pacific, you know, Latin America, some emerging markets. And so the profitability is not the first priorities, but in terms of gross margin, we expect, you know, in kind of the range of 5% to 7%.
5 to 7%, right?
5 to 10%.
Okay. Thank you. My next question is about. So did the company receive IRA credits for the production last year at this point in time, or if the company has sold any of the IRA 45X credits already?
And last year, I think we filed, you know, the filings and you know, it's a kind of the deduction of the, you know, tax payable, you know, for the facilities. And this year we are exploring the opportunities and to sell the credit to the outside investors, and it's in the process.
So you managed to get the credits already, just managing to sell it to financial institutions, right, for this year?
Yeah, this year we plan, you know, it's because, you know, we have 2 gigawatts in full operations, and there's a lot of, you know, potential investors who are interested to, you know, to procure the credit from the facilities, and so we are in the process of the communication and the negotiation.
Thank you. And another question is, what is the U.S. shipment target approximately for this year? Because there's a lot of changes since last time we talked. And is there already some inventory in the U.S. to support that shipment?
You know, the range is 5% to 10%, but you're right, uncertainty, I think the big headwind. So, but I think we are, if the, you know, headwind and uncertainty is the, you know, will not be let's be clear in the short term, if it will be have the impact on the shipment to the U.S. But I think 5%, you know, it's kind of the base, and let's say the low case. But we are confident and we can achieve at least 5%. And if the uncertainty is, you know, it's a kind of the, to be, you know, to have more clarity, and if the supply chain is there is a, you know, available supply chain to the U.S. and we can ship more. But again,
so 5%. So 5% of total shipment, right? Like, so if it's 85 to 100 gigawatt for this year, it's around 4 to 5 gigawatt.
Yes, roughly, yes.
I see. Thank you. So my last question is on the shareholders return program. So I think after the announcement of 4Q result and 1Q result now, wonder if the company can start buying back the shares, given the shares actually have also went down quite a bit, and what the pace of the buyback will look like.
Yeah, after, you know, and the release of the, you know, first quarter, and we plan to buy back from the market. We think it's a good timing, you know, given the valuation is very low, and on top of that, we plan to declare dividend, which is subject to board approval, but it's on our, you know, the schedule.
So the to my understanding, the dividends will be approximately like $50 million, right? If it's around $1 per share, say for example. So would the buyback will be look like $150 million then?
We have not decided, you know, but it's roughly, I think, at least the $100 million. You know, we split into the dividend plus the purchase. This is the first step, but now I think we communicated previously. We like to monetize the financial investment, you know, for some, you know, companies which was listed in recent years. And on top of that, we may explore, you know, other options to monetize some assets from the U.S. you know, holding perspective.
I see. So, but before that happens, actually, you can already start, and there's at least $100 million, which is like 10% of the outstanding shares, right?
Yeah, $100 million. I think it's kind of include, you know, dividend plus the purchase here. That's plus.
I see. So after you liquidate some of your financial assets, there may be upside to this $100 million dividend plus buyback.
We may increase, but depending on how the timing and how, you know, quick we can monetize the assets.
Thanks a lot. I will pass on. Thank you, Charlie.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. That's star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced if you have any questions. Your next question comes from Rajiv Chandri with Samsara Capital.
Hello, Charlie. The first question is about market share. You mentioned that this year the market might go to about 700 gigawatts, and last year it was a little bit around 600 plus. And I'm wondering, you know, if you do the high end of your range, which is 100 gigawatts, your market share looks like it might be lower than last year and lower than 2023. Could you clarify that that discrepancy?
I think last time we talked about, you know, our strategy is not to increase or, you know, penetrate more market share under the, you know, the imbalance of the supply and demand side, and particularly the industry is losing the money. And what we are doing is we want to be flexible in the total shipments, and which we guided and 85 to 100 gigawatts. And what it means is we want to balance the utilization, shipment, and profitabilities, and as well as the cash flow, you know, perspective. And on top of that, we need to to select the customers. We have a lot of, you know, potential customers and, you know, interest orders, but we need to, you know, to be more selective. But for the long term, I think last time we talked about, we target 20, at least 20% the market share, you know, for the module business. So, but it's not, you know, one night target, and we need to be, what is the focus, and we need to focus on our product competitiveness. We continue to invest in R&D, and so, you know, penetrate the key market with some kind of premium, make sure, you know, the business is sustainable.
Okay. Thanks. Along the same lines on the market growth, can you talk about, you know, which geographic regions are going to get the 100 gigawatts of growth from last year? How much growth do you expect in China and the U.S., for example, and also in Europe and India?
Sure. I can roughly talk about it. So in the top level, so we are looking at the global demand at roughly 700 gigawatts, so of which the largest market is believed to be China, same as last year. But the volume side of the China is expected to grow roughly 10 to 15%, so, and which will account for around 45% of the global demand. And the second largest after China is believed to be, we say Europe, the pan-Europe region. So the whole Europe will be over 100 gigawatt level. So I think that's the only two markets past the 100 gigawatt threshold in 2025. But for sure, there are other markets that are very interesting and sizable, such like U.S. We are roughly looking at 50 to 55 gigawatt level. And India, we are looking at around 30 to 35 gigawatt level. So, and, yeah, so that's all the big numbers in our mind. But for sure, the attractive growth is mainly coming from the emerging market, for example, the Asia-Pacific region, and also the African regions. Because of the low basis from last year, the growth rate is pretty high. But if you look into the absolute growth numbers in terms of the gigawatt, definitely the top four market, which I just mentioned, is still the key focus one.
So just to clarify, so you're expecting that China will grow by 10 to 15% this year?
10 to 15, yes.
I see. Okay. And a final question, are you still getting a premium pricing for your TOPCon products based on the technology?
It depends on which technology or which product you're comparing with, right? So definitely from the customer end, as long as the product is generating more power output or technically more yield, more IRRs, returns, customers are more than happy to pay premium on such kind of product.
I see. Can you also give the breakdown you expect between the DG and the utility scale for this year for JinkoSolar?
Yeah, strategically we lower the DG numbers a little bit based on the price trend. So last year the DG ratio is roughly high 40s, so close to 40, 50, but the high 40s, let's say 47, 46. This year, the number will go down to roughly 30 to 35 range.
I see. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. That is one last call for questions. Star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. We are showing no further questions at this time. Thank you for your attendance today. That does conclude our conference. You may now disconnect.